Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, after a stellar Money in the Bank, we take a look back and examine what the road to SummerSlam looks like. On top of that, we're going to look at the entire schedule of the rest of the world of professional wrestling, which includes All In, All Out, a little bit of Payback, and then a bit of a Fastlane. So sit back, relax, and make sure you're not on Twitter because you probably can't see anything anyways. Thanks, Elon. It is episode 346 of Kings of the Rings podcast. Banking on Judgment exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio, and it starts right now. Seriously, Elon, just pay your goddamn bills.
Dude, he can't.
It's horrible. What's being the richest man in the world for if you can't pay your goddamn bills?
Because Hythian got rich, dude. He didn't pay his goddamn bills.
No, that's very true. That's very true. That's good. When you're rich, you don't have to pay bills.
when you're rich, you don't have bills.
Supposedly, but apparently now he does.
The bills pay you.
Yeah, now that he has real bills, he has no idea. What is this? What's a bill? Anywho, folks, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 346. Of course, I am your host, King Ricky Rose. Thank you guys for joining us. If you like what you see, please like, share, subscribe. If you like what you're listening to, please like, share, subscribe, and tell all of your friends. It is myself and Willie T this week, and Will representing Judgment Day, just like Bailey during Money in the Bank. How are you doing, Will? How was your, speaking of which, how was your 4th of July?
Oh, I did catch that Judgment Day. It was really funny. I was like, oh, Billy's part of Judgment Day? Amazing. I hope it actually happens now. My fourth was solid, man. You know, I was supposed to go to Long Island for a cookout, but my friend's mom got sick, so we didn't go. Which that was sucks. A blessing in disguise because it rained a lot on Long Island. It rained a lot.
Oh, not by me, really.
So we went to a pancake factory and got the most delicious $20 milkshake. I'll send you a picture, actually. It had Reese's and four pancakes on top. It was delicious.
So you went to a pancake factory and got a milkshake.
Well, we also got pancake, dude. Okay, so we got pancake tacos.
Okay, so like, kind of like what Taco Bell was trying to do for a while.
Yeah, so it's three big pancakes with scrambled eggs and Taylor ham and the sauce inside, and it was incredible. It was so
wow.
Good. Yeah, it's Brownstone Pancake Factory in Jersey. It's to
interesting.
Die for. It's amazing.
Interesting. I actually did go to a cookout / birthday party. One of my close friends who lives in North Carolina, her family lives up in Northport. So I went to visit her and her husband, who I'm also good friends with. Her husband's in my fantasy football league. So we went for her sister's 30th birthday / July 4th cookout. So it's kind of killing two birds with one stone. And it was perfect. I rolled in at the right time, Will. I walked into the back, and the dad had just finished making five slabs of ribs.
Ugh.
Like, he was taking it off the grill as I walked in. I was like, do you need help, sir?
Oh, dude, every now and then I need a good slab of ribs. Remember last year I told you I was really fiending ribs? And then it was Jazz's birthday. We went to a steakhouse, and I was like, I'm getting the ribs. I was going through pictures the other day, and I saw those ribs, made me want them all over again. Jazz, we're getting ribs!
Listen, man, ribs are amazing, especially if you know somebody who knows how to cook them right. It was great. So it was they're kind of a mixed blended family. So they're Italian and also African-American. So I had like ribs, sausage and peppers, ziti, chicken, burger.
Yes.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't even leave with a plate. I left with a tray.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude. Italians want you to eat what's there while you're there.
And then take the rest with you.
And then the African Americans want you to take it all home, so it works. It's an abundance of food to take home.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I left it a tray. It's going to feed me for the next week, so I don't have to go grocery shopping.
Amazing, amazing. There's your BJ's for you right there, black onions.
I know. Best of both worlds. Absolutely fantastic. So we're going to get into some stuff this week, especially Money in the Bank, because Money in the Bank was flipping phenomenal. We are going to talk all about that. But first and foremost, let's go into a little bit about what is going to go on for the rest of the wrestling summer outside of SummerSlam, which is like a little over a month away. This shit's going by really quickly. After SummerSlam, we have All In London, which apparently the numbers have started to go up a little bit for rich ticket sales, so good for them. What I find interesting about this, Will, on top of everything else, is that a week after All In, they're doing All Out in Chicago.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me, man.
Yeah, I'm as flabbergasted as you are.
I have to ask, so it's like, who runs this business? Like, really, though? Because some of the decisions they make are just weird.
Yeah, is it just me?
It's not. I guarantee you it's not.
Because I feel like their AEW is very fall heavy with a lot of her stuff. Because because after All Out, you're then going to have Dynamite Grand Slam, which for God's sake should just be a pay-per-view at this point. And then after Grand Slam, you're going to have Full Gear, which is usually a fall special for them as well. You know, and then they kind of die out after that. So it just seems unbalanced. I think Blood and Guts is also potentially in the fall as well. Again, another Dynamite TV special that probably should be a pay-per-view. But they just seem so lopsided in one part of a year and kind of everywhere else.
Well, I'm fine with the quarterly pay-per-views. In fact, I prefer the quarterly pay-per-views because it makes them seem a little more special when they're not in Chicago. but yeah, I agree. I think I remember there were too many pay-per-view specials, like Winter Has Come, like The Night Has Fallen, Shamrock Slam, whatever the fuck they called it, you know, like
Fighter Fest was one.
Fighter
of them.
Fest. There was like the raid, like the Jericho's Boat Cruise. Like there was
yeah.
There was just too many like non-Dynamites, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Along with their Rampages, their YouTube specials, and now their Saturday Night Show, which ratings cut in half the next week.
So, yeah, I don't know, because Money in the Bank was at 3 in the afternoon. I wasn't watching wrestling after that.
Oh, 3 in the afternoon was also incredible.
That was a great time slot.
Yeah,
that was a great time slot.
The pre-show was like wrestling from 2 to 7. It was
magnifique.
It was great. It was very nice. But when you watch AEW, like I said, we talked very heavily about Forbidden Door, and it was how great of a show it was. I praise it heavily.
Yeah.
But it's just like, dude, you just don't know how to run a business. And that's what I like about the most about WWE is how they run their business. It's fucking fascinating.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's wildly efficient. I just like, the quarterly pay-per-views are perfectly fine. But they should be spaced out. You have All In, which is supposed to be, I guess, your summer, and All Out, which I guess is also your summer. All In's supposed to be your spring, and All Out's your summer.
Yeah.
Number one, they're named too similarly, because I don't know which one's more significant. And now you're going to put those two a week apart from each other. So now you've wasted half of your quarterly pay-per-views in a week span.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, I think All In was first, right? Because it was the bet with Meltzer, right? Which
Yes, All In is the first one,
and we're
going
to go All In on our bet.
Yes.
And once the bet paid off, like, okay, now we're going to go All Out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a little confusing, especially if they're back-to-back. I think if one's in the summer and one's in the winter, it makes a little more sense.
Yeah. Or something like that, yeah. Like, it's just a lot. Because essentially, like, if you compare it to WWE, and I try not to, but when you look at, when you space out your pay-per-views, you should be able to build to all of these. And with a quarterly system like AEW was trying to implement, these should be easy builds.
Yeah.
But how do you build for what's supposed to be your biggest event ever in All In?
When the second biggest is like the week before or after.
Yeah. And then now you have to scramble to do All Out.
I mean, WWE kind of did it with the SummerSlam backlash when Roman Reigns came back and won the title. We were all like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, oh, yeah. that that's what's going on here. We like that. So, yeah,
but
WWE doesn't really do a good job of building from show to show either. Like, Backlash was way different from the build to Money in the Bank. Like, they didn't build off each other. They're almost completely separate.
Where I think they fixed it this time, because Money in the Bank clearly set up SummerSlam real well.
Yes.
real well, and we'll talk about that. So after all of this All In and All Outs and all this fiasco, we also have Payback was announced for Pittsburgh September 2nd. They're doing their premium live events a little bit earlier on, so this is probably going to be Labor Day weekend is going to be Payback.
Early July, early August, early September.
Yeah.
And what's the October one, Fastlane?
It's going to be Fastlane in Indianapolis, October 7th. So they're doing things a little bit earlier on for right now. We'll see how that kind of works out for them. It seems to be working well pretty much thus far. And sometimes in between, you'll have NXT do something. I know Great American Bash, I think, is next week. for NXT, and yeah, that's going to be a premium live event, I believe, on a Sunday. So it's going to be interesting. So that's kind of what the schedule looks like for right now for all of your big wrestling stuff.
I do love the Saturday pay-per-views. I mean,
yeah,
I did like Sunday, but Sunday nights, because everyone's home Sunday night.
Sure. Right?
Now it's like I have to make sure I'm home on a Saturday night, whereas it's like, mm-hmm, maybe I want to do date night, or maybe I want to go have pizza at my friend's house. You know, whatever. I have a life.
Yeah.
But Saturday afternoon was so refreshing. It was great. It was awesome.
Oh, Saturday afternoon was great. Yeah. So can we start to do more PLEs at 3? Yes, I agree, Alexa. We should do more PLEs at 3. But let's talk about the PLE that did happen at 3 from London, England, Money in the Bank. God damn it, WWE did it again. And God damn it, those crap, the UK crowd did it again.
I think John Cena just nailed it. It's like sometimes you kind of hijack a show, but good. That's why we like you.
I love how Triple H. I don't know if you watch The Presser. The Presser's
fun. Watch him for me. I don't need to watch him.
Yeah. So Triple H was like, "Yeah, leave it to John Cena. Put me in a sticky position that I can't answer for afterwards."
Well, dude, you knew what he was. Shut up, Triple H. Shut up, Paul. You knew what he was going to say. You knew what he was going to say. You let him go out there. You're in charge.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about what Paul was saying in the presser, according to Paul, Triple H Levesque, he said the gate for Money in the Bank, I believe, was the largest gate in the history of WWE, money-wise. Largest arena gate, not stadium gate, largest arena gate. He made that specific.
Interesting. I wonder how much has to do with UK inflation, because UK inflation is fucking nuts.
Yeah, we had someone respond saying that the prices were kind of wild. He also said, because I'll pull it up, because I did tweet about this, like, right after the show. Money in the Bank, highest grossing arena event in the history of WWE. SmackDown, highest grossing SmackDown in history.
Wow.
Yeah. At that point, I was like, give London a WrestleMania. We were on the top of that. But let's go down some of the crazy stuff on the card, particularly Priest won. Priest won the men's Money in the Bank. And also, number two, no one fucking cashed in on the same night. Thank God. Yeah,
man. I told you all this is happening. Priest is gonna win. It's like my gut was telling me, like, it makes the most sense. He's the dark horse. He needs it the most. And the story of Raw is surrounded by Judgment Day.
Yeah, and Judgment Day runs Raw.
And they've been teasing the breakup of Judgment Day between Balor and Priest. So it's like, mm-hmm, yeah, Priest has this thing, and it's always better on a heel. Does make sense to go on Logan? He doesn't need it. He's there to bring eyeballs. It'd be, mm-hmm, cool for Logan to have it, but he would never be there to use it.
Yeah, LA Knight.
LA Knight, I was like, he's on SmackDown. That was my thing. He's on SmackDown. I know you can cash in anywhere, but then you got to move him over to Raw. So.
Oh, because it cashing it on Seth is what you mean. Okay, right. Gotcha.
So like, it made the most sense to me that a Raw superstar would win, even though, mm-hmm, LA Knight would move over. But if LA Knight was going to win, they would have just drafted him to Raw.
Yeah, Priest also looks big. Like, he looks great. He looks fantastic, yeah.
And
he won his match.
It's also a reward for how good he did with Bad Bunny, carrying him through that match.
Yeah, and he won his match, too, on Monday. Because usually Money in the Bank people start to lose, but he won his match.
Yeah.
So we're doing things a little bit different. I loved this men's Money in the Bank match. Some wild stuff that happened in there. Logan Paul needs to buy Ricochet like a steak dinner. Because Ricochet essentially saved his life.
Yeah,
with
that
Spanish Fly.
How is that spot supposed to go? Because they
from what I saw,
got caught in the second rope.
From what I saw, Ricochet, because LA Knight, kind of tips the ladder over.
Yeah.
They're supposed to catch themselves on the rope like Ricochet did. And Logan Paul, I just think, was exhausted. Like, even before that spot, you can see Logan Paul totally underestimated what he was getting himself into. Like, he tried the frog splash Priest on the ladder, and that ladder didn't break.
Ricochet did a 450 that I don't know if he undershot it, if he did it on purpose, but it didn't mm-hmm, look right.
Yeah, so when you get to the Spanish Fly spot, Logan Paul fucks up catching himself on the rope.
Yeah, second.
And he's struggling, and Ricochet kind of just grabbed him.
Yeah.
And
held him up.
And held him.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, when they showed the Skycam footage of it, Ricochet actually kind of forcibly tucks Logan Paul's head to the side so that he doesn't, like, fuck up his neck. If you look at it again, like, Ricochet saves him from a really bad injury. And props to Ricochet for doing so.
I mean, he's a veteran, man. Guy knows what he's doing. And he's the acrobat, so. No one you'd rather have save your life.
Yeah, no, it was a great save by Ricochet. It looked scary, though. It looked real scary. Yeah.
The match was fine. It was a little sloppy. I thought the women's match was way better, which I rarely say for, like, a Money in the Bank, like a gimmick match. Mm-hmm. I think the women told a way better story. Like, the men
at the end, the story at the end was great.
Yeah, men might have had more acrobatics and, like, high spots, but women told a better story. At the end of the day, wrestling's about telling stories. So I thought the women stole the show with that ladder match, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it was great. Everybody had a chance to shine. I loved how they gave everybody pretty much an entrance. Like, Brawling Brutes had, like, the rugby outfit.
Yep.
Santos came in his traditional, like, big Mexican attire, which I thought was really cool.
Michael Cole didn't know what a cricket bat was.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they used the cricket bat. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wade Barrett, I think, probably had the best time announcing on Saturday as well.
Wade Barrett's gotten better at announcing. Him and Cole were a little rocky at first, but they found it. No Pat McAfee, but Wade Barrett had impossible shoes to fill, but him and Cole have finally kind of found their ground, and
yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah, no, it was good, and congratulations. Oh, he will in a second. I'm a little bit on the delay. I'm very excited for Priest, where this goes. I like his little teasing thing. The balance of power in Judgment Day is kind of weird. Finn's your supposed leader, but you have Priest's Money in the Bank, and Rhea's kind of the highest ranking champion in Judgment Day.
Yeah, well, the whole thing, the thing of the story is, though, like, the whole point of Judgment Day, like, after Edge was kicked out, they cut a promo saying, we don't have a leader. There is no leader. But now they're kind of arguing over who's the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, Donald has 13 hits this season, 9 home runs.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
So it's just like, so you're feuding over something you never cared about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think Judgment Day for me overall has been a big flop. Like we talked about last week, Rhea is a star, but not because of Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Judgment Day's been great for Dom, but
it's done wonders for Dom.
Yeah.
It's finally paying off for Priest.
It is starting to pay. Well, I think, no, because the breakup is going to be better for Priest, not the actual thing itself. Like, before this, Priest wasn't on WrestleMania. Remember that. He was not on WrestleMania at all.
That's correct.
So, Judgment Day really hasn't done anything for Priest. The breakup is going to be because of Priest. That's going to do wonders for him. And Priest is stuck eating all the L's.
Yeah, Priest is on the way up, especially with this Money in the Bank briefcase. And they are going to show up. All of Judgment Day is, again, now showing up on NXT to mess around with Carmelo Hayes next week.
Yep.
So, listen, Judgment Day is doing a lot of work for the brands. And I also love how, in particular, not only just Judgment Day, how they started to weave the people who they want to essentially groom to be big stars, like Carmelo Hayes, into kind of the Raw stuff. Like, I cannot wait for Carmelo Hayes to come up again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know. The guy's incredible. And Trick. Yeah. And Trick, too.
That's what I was scared for when Melo came up just to face Finn. Trick wasn't with him. I was like, oh. I was like, come on.
No,
bring Trick.
Please.
Yeah. Like, please bring Trick. Oh, man. But no, Carmelo's going to be awesome when he comes up. And Priest, whenever he cashes in, it's going to be a sight.
I think Carmelo needs to bulk up a little more muscle.
Not too much.
Yeah,
he might
lose his aerodynamics, but...
Yeah.
Slow down and bulk up, dude. That's always safe in wrestling.
Yeah, not too much, though, because he has a great physique. And he's still in his late 20s, I believe. He's a baby. Yeah. He's got time. Let's move on. Speaking of the women's match, EO in the Bank, which everybody kind of saw coming.
Ah, not me. I had to eat a piece of shit on this one.
Yeah.
But phenomenal finish.
Phenomenal finish.
I loved it.
We have face mask Trish again.
Amazing.
Because she did legitimately screw up her nose. So she's wearing the exact same face mask from when she faced Lita.
That's funny.
In the main event. Yeah, this match was great. Io was Io. I still don't know for the life of me how Io did the moonsault off of, like, the giant ladder and not fall out of the ring. Because she got close. Yeah, she's crazy, got close.
She's fucking crazy. But okay, Becky and Trish had their storyline with Zoe Stark, right? Bayley pushed Io off the ladder. And she's like, fuck both of y'all with this bullshit. She's like, you know, like, you two, the, both of you, with your stupid feud this past year, have been holding me back. Fuck both of you. You're cuffed. I'm going up.
The visuals are great. I love the use of the handcuffs.
Yeah, I love the handcuffs.
Yeah, love the use of the handcuffs. I also love Becky Lynch clearly doing cosplay as Rogue from X-Men.
Oh, that's who she was.
It was Rogue from X-Men.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. I was like, Ricky's going to know. I'm going to like it.
Oh, I knew. Charles and I knew it, like, as soon as she came. I was like, oh, that's Rogue. Unfortunately, Sep didn't come out as Gambit, because that would have been right there for him, but it didn't happen.
No one else really came out as anything, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that was a shame.
That was a little underwhelming.
I was expecting Zelina to come out with something, but she did not. I did love Zelina always finding a way to use the Chancla as a formidable weapon.
Yeah, it works.
The code red that Zelina used, the Zoe Stark.
Dude, Zoe Stark was like, fuck this, I'm extra tucking my head. I was like, dude, that made me pop. Honestly, it's kind of weird. When I watch wrestling, when I really like something, I laugh at it. So, like, that happened, I was like, like, when I enjoy wrestling, I laugh at it. It's weird.
Yeah.
But that spot popped me really hard in my living room.
Yeah, that code red. Whew. Man, that was a rough one.
Was it
just me, or did, like, none of the tables or ladders or anything break the way they were supposed to for the Money in the Bank matches? Well,
yeah, I always wondered that. I saw that the Logan spot specifically. I'm like, was that ladder supposed to break and it just didn't?
But it's because of the way they didn't hit the Spanish fly clean like they were supposed to.
But I always think the ladder wasn't necessarily supposed to break because I think you would rather have it not break so it would hurt less.
Well, no, you want to have it kind of, you want to have it break.
It only breaks when I fall from distance. It's like a high distance.
And yeah, because it's more force and momentum coming down, and it's physics, really, right. Yeah.
But you typically don't put someone through a ladder. Usually, like, they go through the ladder by themselves.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time you saw two people go through a ladder like you do a table?
It's probably an NXT ladder match of some sort.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's all about how much force is coming down. But, like, if it doesn't break, then all of that force comes back up and hits you. So, like, if you break it, it kind of goes down. So you're not taking, like, all of that. That's one thing. So, like, it not breaking kind of sucks. It's like when tables don't break, that fucking hurts.
Oh, yeah,
like, knocks the wind out of you. Yeah.
You're like, ooh.
Yeah. Shit hurts. But, no, the handcuff spot was great. I loved how it was Becky and Bayley that got handcuffed. Because you can it's a symbolism, like the two people who are the four horsewomen who always get the spots handcuffing everybody else.
Yep.
Now they're handcuffed and they can't go any higher. Yep. I think it was a cool visual.
Yeah, it was great.
Cool visual. This is going to be fantastic for EL. She's cashing in on Asuka, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I think she's cashing in on Asuka.
That's the thing you want, dude. That's a good Mania feud right there.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the promos for them?
No. I'm gonna have no idea what they're saying.
That's the best part. They're just going to be screaming and then, like, Io's going to be like, bitch.
Bitch. I'm about it, dude.
It's going to be so much fun. So we have Mr. and Miss Money in the Bank. So let's play a little bit of a game here since we have some time to kill. Who cashes in first?
Oh. Io.
Really?
Yeah, I think EO.
When does she cash in then?
I think that's at SummerSlam.
Okay.
Because they're really going for that triple threat at SummerSlam, which I think is going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And you want Rhea to have a nice long one with that belt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at SummerSlam it would be good, and you got a good feud going into the fall.
Okay. When Priest cashes in, I don't think anytime soon. I think he has to hold that for a little bit longer.
Dude, honestly, I could see him going the full year and then suddenly expire. Because that's never happened before.
I would hate that for him.
They say it's good for a full year. No one's gone the full year holding it for a full year.
People get close, but it hasn't gone a full year, yeah.
The longest was what, Ziggler?
It might have been Carmella.
Carmella
took forever.
Carmella. Yeah, it was Carmella.
she cashed in the night after, and that was
in SmackDown after.
SmackDown after, yeah. It was New Orleans when we were on a plane.
Yeah, I'm glad we were on that plane.
Well, yeah, that was the Carmella cash in. That was a Shinsuke debut, too.
Yep. I think Bobby Roode was on that show, too.
No, Roode debuted Roode SmackDown.
The next year?
Roode was SummerSlam.
Ah.
Something like that. Yeah, Roode was a post SummerSlam debut, which was good. That was also the same night that Shelton Benjamin returned.
Benjamin,
yeah, back in catering somewhere. But let's move on.
Good video, man. Happy for her. She definitely deserves it.
Yes, and then the cinematic match of the night, clearly the Usos, in a tag team match, defeated Roman and Solo, with the MVPs of this match being
unbelievable.
Yes. The MVPs of this match being the London crowd with "Stand up if you hate Roman and sit down if you hate Roman." God, I love a London crowd so much for that. Roman finally taking a pin. Granted, it was in a non-title match. Granted, it was also in a tag team match. Roman Reigns, the undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion, a.k.a. the man who walks around with three belts because he's that big of an asshole, took a pin. And ate the pin for the first time, what, 3.5 years?
Yeah, December 2019.
Yep, 3.5 years with Jey Uso pinning him. Jey Uso is the first person to ever pin Roman in a WWE ring when Roman was originally part of the Shield. So Jey Uso pins him again. And is this the end of the Bloodline storyline as we know it?
I don't know, man. I mean, where else do they go from here? Like, it did feel like the end of the story. Like, Michael Cole said it best. Roman Reigns has lost his mystique, he has lost his invincibility, and he has lost pretty much his dominance. And that's exactly what I felt when he got pinned. I was just like, oh, it's over. Like, I felt like he lost the belt.
Yeah, but he kept the belt.
Yeah, it was, but it's just... The reverence we have towards Roman Reigns is it's not the same anymore. It's going to be very interesting to see how he bounces back from this and what happens moving forward. But like, this was wild. I really thought he was going to hold that streak until he lost the belt, which I honestly think he should, because now it's just like, well, he already lost, so it's not as big of a, whoever beats him, it's not as big of a deal. Like, it's almost like something. You got to build Roman Reigns back up now. Because he's been taking L after L after L. Because think about it, WrestleMania, he won.
Yeah.
He hasn't won or looked strong since. He took Backlash off. They lost. Solo took the pin in Saudi.
Roman took he did.
Roman took the pin in LA and London.
Yeah, and then also, Roman's been taking a lot of kicks.
Yes.
As well to the face. A lot of kicks to the face. It is interesting. Although it is a loss on Roman, he's still the champion. He still has an over 1,000-day reign as champion. He's still running around with three fucking belts, which is fantastic. Also, by the way, Paul Heyman's promo during the pre-show.
Oh, my God. He was in tears.
Beautiful.
It was so good. I was like, he's going to kill these kids.
Beautiful. But to me, it's kind of just a dink right now, because there wasn't anything like of significance on the line except for Pride, but it still showed how great of a story it was, because the crowd was just eating this up.
Yeah.
And it shows you how far they have come. Now, the thing is, what's on the line? What's next for Roman here? Because again, it's still kind of it's a little bit of a dink. He's still the champion. I think you put Jay versus Roman at SummerSlam for the title.
I agree. I think
that's the next logical step.
And I honestly, last week I would have said Roman wins. This week I'm saying I wouldn't be shocked if Jay won.
That would be crazy.
It would be really crazy. Because this guy, Jey Uso, literally has been the MVP of this unsung hero of this storyline. We'll call him like our Oscar winner, Jey Uso.
Yeah.
And like, his matches, his acting, his promos, his presence, his turns, his facials, everything this guy does has been gold. But I still don't think he's the person to take the belt off of him. I don't think it's like, can Jey Uso do all of this on his own outside of the Bloodline storyline? Like, could Jey Uso do this with an LA Knight?
Ooh. I don't know.
I mean, like, he's a tag team guy. But yeah. if it's 1999, if it's 2001, 2002, 2003, and mm-hmm. I told you, can this Edge guy really hold a program with Triple H on his own?
You probably say no.
I'd probably say no.
Yeah.
But then again, Jey Uso's been in this company for over 10 years.
And he's got a whole family.
Yeah.
He should know this business by now.
So could he do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the fact that I'm saying I don't know kind of means I have my answer. Because yeah. he's been so good, but he's been so good in his comfort zone. He's working with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you have creative reign to do pretty much whatever Roman says.
Yeah.
Take all that away. Can he stand on his own? I hope so, because I really fucking like him.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do. I mean, there's so many different possibilities you can do with this at SummerSlam. Because, like you said, Roman kind of needs to kind of get his dominance again. What better way than to beat up Jey?
Yeah.
You know?
Just like he did at Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm. You could run it back and have, like, someone throw in the towel for Jey if he gets beat down so badly.
Yeah, he's got to get his heat back.
Yeah, the cool thing about right now is that Roman is kind of a loose cannon. I mean, there's always the story of everybody always turns on Roman. It's like a recurring theme of his career. Like, everybody turns on Roman at some point in their career.
It really is.
But the thing is, how does Roman do kind of on his own without any help and just kind of his lackey Paul or his simp Paul with him all the time carrying all the belts? I also don't know how Paul just carries all those belts are heavy. Okay.
He's a big dude. He's not like, yeah. in shape.
Yeah, those belts are heavy just to carry around all the time. So it's an interesting story. Where could they go? And also you have a Solo issue. Because now they planted the seed that Solo could run the Bloodline. And what the Solo
no,
do
they didn't stop it.
Yeah, they did on SmackDown.
Yeah, they tried. But Solo is very much still with Roman. He didn't show any sign of dissent in the match.
For now.
He's going to turn eventually. Yeah. That was another thing I was thinking. Like, when Roman was walking out, first off, he was glistening and so shiny and beautiful. But I was thinking, man, what happens to Solo when this wraps up?
That is a big question. Solo's, of anybody in pro wrestling, especially in WWE, Solo has probably been the most protected talent for the last, not ever since he debuted at Clash of the Castle.
For sure. But did Usos come back being tag champs and continue their thing? Jey Uso can go on his own. Solo, without the Bloodline, is a nobody.
Because he can't speak.
Exactly. His in-ring is fine. He's, mm-hmm. he's protected by the talent around him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the opportunity to speak. So it's like, once he's on his own, what's going to happen to Solo? It's like, this kid's still green.
Yeah, unless he betrays Roman and goes with his older brothers.
Yeah, which I think he's going to do eventually.
I think I was talking to Charles about this when this happened. Here's the stupid, dumb, marky, ridiculous scenario. I want Solo to turn on Roman. And so all the Usos are kind of back together. All the direct Bloodline Usos are back together. And then all of a sudden, I want them to put Rikishi's yellow sunglasses on Solo.
Yeah, and have him dance.
They all get on the line and start doing the dance.
Well, dude, that was my fantasy drafting. Why I drafted, what's his name? The Quincy Elliott.
Yeah.
That was his whole gimmick. And then they all give Roman a stink face, all three of them. At once.
So much gyrations. It'd be amazing. That's what that's my future for Solo. Usos and Solo just start doing the Too Cool Rikishi dance for the rest of their career. That's how they become faces again. That's how they become faces. But I love where this is going. We have on Friday from Madison Square Garden on SmackDown, the trial of Roman Reigns. The Usos are going to put Roman on trial, which is going to be interesting.
What the fuck does that mean?
I have no clue. I'm not going to be there for it, but I'll be watching it from my living room.
Are they saying, like, he's no longer the tribal chief?
I guess. I don't know.
So you guys left the Bloodline. Now you're going to try and take over. Now you're staging the coup. See, I told you, dude, it's Revolutionary War. What'd I tell you? It's been a revolution.
Wouldn't this be more of a coup?
Oh, Law & Order SVU Us is really funny for us. That's a really good one.
Law & Order SVU Us was a meme somewhere. That is a really good one. So who knows? MSG SmackDown is going to be pretty crazy. You have Roman. You have the Bloodline. Edge is coming back as well. He's going to be on the Grayson Waller show. It's going to be fun. Speaking of Grayson Waller, he might check some John Cena. I almost screamed when I heard John Cena's music. I said, excuse me?
Yeah, I laughed. Again, I laughed. It's when I like wrestling, I laugh at it. I was like, I fucking love this guy. I was like, but what are you doing here?
I was like, he started talking and he was rambling. And at the point, I was like, get to the point, John.
Yeah, he's like, we get it. You're surprised. And usually chant, I suck, but you're now singing my song, which I popped for. I'm not going to lie. I he's like, y'all singing My Time Is Now. I was like, they were.
But it's like, yeah, John, why are you here? Get to the point. And he's like, I'm here to potentially bring WrestleMania to London and the place. That might have been the biggest pop of the night.
It was. Here's the thing. Why tease it?
I think it was a very clever, it's not a tease. I think that's smoke and mirrors. It's not a tease. I'm going to break this down because I'm going to do a Watch the Throne about how this is probably going to work. I think that's them telling them, we're bringing WrestleMania overseas to London. We just don't know when yet.
Yes, they just, why not announce it then?
Because they don't know yet. Mm-hmm. They don't know when. I think there is a plan to do that. Because if you look at it, and it's going to be a little quick breakdown. But if you look at it, four of the five paper premium live events have been not in America. The only one was WrestleMania. Yep. You have, Elimination Chamber, Montreal. You went back to LA for WrestleMania. Then you went to Saudi for Night of Champions.
And then they...
Puerto Rico Backlash. Continental U.S.
Yes.
So Puerto Rico Backlash, and now Money in the Bank in London. They're experimenting with doing more overseas and outside of the continental U.S., and rightfully so, because that London crowd is amazing. Can you imagine what they can do for WrestleMania?
Oh, it's gonna be nuts, dude.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fucking nuts. What do you think? Yeah. Like, so it's the Phillies next year.
Phillies next year. There's nothing to be announced. Oh, if it's we better hit up Will Gray if it's Nashville.
Oh, we're going to Nashville, dude. I know a handful of people in Nashville. Like, we're gonna be there for like a week.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's
gonna
be awesome.
Yeah. So no, the only one that's confirmed is Philly. They have not announced 41 yet. But I'm gonna go out on prediction and say by WrestleMania 50, where there will be at least one WrestleMania that is gonna be in London. So somewhere in the 40s, I think it's going to happen. 50 is going to be in the continental U.S. guaranteed.
Yeah, no, I would probably guess 42 or 43 or 44 will be in
London.
London, excuse me.
Yeah, they.
Do you wish they do 50? They should just do it on the moon.
That would be pretty crazy.
By WrestleMania 50, Elon will get to Mars. We'll do WrestleMania Mars.
No,
and 50? The main event is Elon versus Zuck.
Yeah, right. That might actually happen.
I know. Isn't that nuts? Oh, no. Elon's mom said he can't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
actually happens.
Damn. Wow. No, 50, if anything, 50 should be in New York.
God, it's going to be so expensive.
I don't fucking care at that point. Like,
New York is New York. WWE's home base. It should be in New York. You're right.
Yeah, they should go.
When you say New York, you mean New Jersey.
The New York, New Jersey area. So, like, I'm thinking, like, they need to utilize all those arenas. Because, listen, you can have NXT at freaking Barclays that weekend. You can have Raw at MSG. You can have SmackDown at UBS. Like, there are so many arenas that WWE can use in that week for all of that. Make it a giant, make it a spectacle if it's going to be at 50.
SmackDown is at, they're not going to go to UBS because that's too far. That's too far out.
It's not that far out, but you can take a train there now.
SmackDown's in Brooklyn. WrestleMania's at MetLife.
Raw's at MSG. Raw after WrestleMania would need to be in MSG.
NXT's at Arthur Ashe.
they call it NXT Dynamite Grand Slam.
NXT Wimbledon.
NXT Wimbledon.
That's tennis, right? Wimbledon?
That Wimbledon is tennis. Club. Yeah, that one's in England. I do believe that we will be seeing a WrestleMania in London, and they are actively doing their research on how to pull this off, and they're going to get a little help. And I'll explain all of that when I do my Watch the Throne. Cena was then mic checked by Grayson Waller, who held his own in comparison to the time he went up against Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you saw a clip with him and Charlotte. Charlotte made him look bad.
Yeah, Charlotte didn't do him any justice. That's for sure.
He also looked flustered to be in Charlotte's presence.
I mean, wow. so much plastic in one place.
You know, but in this instant, Grayson held his own. It was great that he's Australian in the UK because they don't like Aussies. So he played up. He played that up really well with them. And listen,
it's nothing.
And he was like, why don't they bring WrestleMania to Australia? And I think that was Grayson Waller talking out of his ass.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I don't think they're going to go to Australia yet.
No, not a chance.
You know.
Not a chance. The time zones are too different.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go through Australia.
No matter what you say, dude, WrestleMania is still for... Wrestling in general is for an American audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Saturday and Sunday afternoon for a London crowd, that's fine.
Could you imagine Saturday and Sunday afternoon WrestleMania? Because they'd be in London, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
It'd be absolutely awesome. That'd be nuts. But I do believe this in this kind of thing as well. I think this is going to set up Grayson Waller versus Cena at SummerSlam.
Oh. I don't know, man.
I don't think this is a one-off.
They mentioned Austin Theory in that promo, and I was like, oh, yeah. He wrestled John Cena, and that did nothing for
nothing.
Him.
Well, because John Cena called the promo. He's like, even if you win, this nothing. It's like, wow, you just buried Theory.
Yeah.
Thanks. Like,
Theory has had no buzz. I forgot he was U.S. champion. He wasn't on the card. He hasn't been on any card.
No, he was on SmackDown the last time he was on the card.
Okay, so he's on SmackDown. But, like, did he do anything in Puerto Rico?
I want to say no.
Did he do anything in Saudi?
Did he defend in Saudi?
I'm asking. I don't remember.
I don't believe he defended in Saudi.
So, either way, I can't remember. So, what did beating John Cena WrestleMania do for him?
Nothing. Just like John Cena said, what was going to happen?
So, it's like, do I want to see Grayson Waller lose to John Cena? No. Not really. Because John Cena needs a win, dude. He hasn't won a... Because Grayson Waller said it. You haven't won a match since... They didn't mention the tag team match on the December 30th. The 31st, whatever it was, this of last year.
Yeah, the end of a year match. Yeah,
with Sammy and KO, whatever. But yeah, like Cena hasn't done anything of note other than lose, so he needs to win. Yeah. He's gonna beat Grayson Waller, but it's like, what's that gonna do for Grayson? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, again, this all could have just been a wasting time segment. But you also have the fact that Grayson Waller hasn't been on TV in a while either. But Grayson's also gonna be going up against Edge on the Grayson Waller effect on SmackDown as well. So it could be Grayson Waller Edge.
Yeah.
As well.
That's something that's worth seeing.
Yeah. I mean, see what you want about Grayson Waller. They like this man. He's essentially a mixture of Miz and Theory. He is. And I mean, he's shown he can work with other talent. Like, remember, he's the one that retired Gargano.
Oh, Grayson is.
Yeah, Grayson's the one that retired Gargano from NXT. Because remember, he interrupted Gargano's goodbye speech?
Yes.
Yeah. So listen, they're high on Grayson. I've been high on Grayson. I think he's a great heel. He's a good heel. And he can hold his own so far. So big thing to get out here. WrestleMania's coming to London, and I will go bankrupt going to London for WrestleMania.
I will not.
I would love to go because I just want to go. Like, just the London atmosphere is something I've always really enjoyed.
I would love to go. Depending on what year that is, I could be rich by then. So maybe I will go.
Yeah, yeah. Just fly on over across the pond. You gotta get used to the whole left side of the road thing.
I'm not gonna drive.
But also think about that when you're like crossing a street, you make sure you gotta look the right way.
Ah, that's true. Well, left, right, left. Come on, Ricky. We're kids here. Left,
yeah. Right, I mean, you look, left. Yeah. Look both right, ways. Right? Like... Something like that. Yeah, it's weird. I've been playing a lot of Watch Dogs Legion in London, which I just beat the game last week. Anywho, let's move along to the rest of his card. Again, one of the other biggest shockers that I did not see coming, Shayna finally fucking turned on Ronda.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is going on? Why? They really don't care about these tag titles, do they? Like, at all.
Well, I told you about, you know, Liv getting injured was a fluke, and they were going to just give them back the belts. So I continue. By the way, Liv Morgan looking like Ginger Spice, except with blonde hair. Phenomenal. I was like, you got the assignment, Liv. But again, I think this sets up Ronda and Shayna at SummerSlam. Here's what I'm going to say. Ronda, Shayna, fight pit, SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's what they need. Because there's rumors now that Amanda Nunes retired and Ronda's going to go back to UFC. Because she can actually win.
No one tell Holly Holmes. Yeah, right?
Ronda, yeah, she'll fuck up Ronda again. Or Ronda fuck her up like 3 times. No, Holly, no.
Holly's the first one to beat her. She's the daughter of one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, daughter right. of a preacher. Yeah.
I was thinking of Liz Carmouche, whatever her name is, the other one, the brunette, the big titties.
Who?
The fighter who couldn't beat Rousey.
Misha Tate.
It was Misha Tate. I was thinking of Misha Tate.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, now I do love and Fretch, I see your outdate thing. That's third sheet stuff. So we don't know what her contract is. But I love the Shayna. I love the Shayna turn. I didn't see it coming, but once I saw it, I was like, oh, finally we're gonna give Shayna something. Did you watch the promo on Monday?
I did not.
Okay, so here's how it goes, because you will love everything about this, Will, because it's totally stuff we talked about on this podcast, specifically you. Ronda's in the ring. The second she's about to speak, Shayna's music hits.
Amazing.
And Shayna goes, I think I speak for everyone when we say we're tired of seeing you try to speak on a microphone.
Max.
And so Ronda seems blindsided because Ronda's like, I've been for you. I was like, we've been friends for so long. I've always been there for you. And Shayna's like, Shayna literally goes off. She goes, you're such a, she mutes herself, but she goes, she wants to say, you're such a narcissistic bitch. And she's like, where were you when I was putting rings together just so I can get on the card for maybe 30 people? Where were you when I was filling out applications just so I can think about getting a tryout? And then she said, if it wasn't for me, you would have never been in WWE. And my biggest regret is bringing you into this world. Yeah. So it felt like she was letting off some steam. Like this might have been some real like heat. She was like, I worked my ass off and you just waltzed in right through the back door to WrestleMania.
Yeah, storyline. I think they're still friends in real life.
No, I definitely think they're still friends. Yeah, but I'm just glad. Yeah, I'm just glad that they let Shayna finally start talk some shit. Because remember when she was coming up in NXT and she would do those promos and she had like the leather jacket and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, we've got something. Like Shayna can talk some shit. We've got something here. And then they went away from that because Ronda became the big thing. So I'm glad this is going somewhere. And I do like I like Shayna, submission magician. Shayna should be coming back. Very excited for this, but huge shocker. Not gonna lie, huge shocker. You know what made it a huge shocker? Because she literally just clocked Ronda out of nowhere.
Yeah, like she was just out of nowhere. Just why?
Yeah.
What the fuck happened? Even Liv was just like, what am I watching?
She's like, what the fuck? We didn't talk about this backstage.
I think that's actually true.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past the town because I know the town just likes to rip everybody on like live TV from time to time. So I wouldn't put it past them if they were like, yo, they got out of the production meeting and then like they kept Shayna and Ronda like, all right, Shayna, you're going to turn and just not tell them.
like Liv, you and Raquel are going over, but here's how. And then in the back of my mind, that's not how. Not at all.
Here's how it's really gonna happen.
Finley's just trolling.
Honestly, if I was in that position and I had confidence in my performance, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like not all the time, but like from time to time, you know. Because sometimes it's good to have like a real guttural reaction.
Facts. Especially someone can't act.
Exactly. Yeah. You force it out of them. So that was good. So Liv and Raquel back with the tag team champions. Shayna and Ronda are I really hope they set up Fight Pit. Moving along, Cody and Brock 3. Like, we didn't see this coming because Cody and Brock 3 is coming at SummerSlam because we all saw this coming.
Yep.
you know, we're not going to talk about Cody and Dom at SummerSlam because Cody kind of just beat the crap out of Dom pretty handedly.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's fun to watch. It's good.
You know, what I enjoy, and originally on SmackDown, Michael Cole had said that that was going to be the main event. And that was clearly a mistake. But everybody on Twitter was like, oh, why is Cody and Dom the main event? I was like, guys, Brock's coming back. Like, that's why that would have been the main event. It wasn't, but Brock came out on Monday because Brock probably didn't want...
was going to main event Money in the Bank. I did see that tweet. Yeah. This can't be real. Who's going to have to fall for this?
Michael Cole said it on SmackDown. People were like, what the fuck? Yeah. But I bet you it was because Brock didn't want to fly to London. I bet you that's probably what it was.
Thank God, dude. I don't want Roman Reigns being pinned in the middle of the card.
No, it's a good call. What I found interesting about Cody's gear, what someone pointed out, Cody flipped the color scheme of his gear.
Ah.
Instead of it being like red, white, blue, it was blue, red, white, like the colors of the Union Jack of a British flag.
That's funny.
Yeah, so the predominant color was blue on his gear instead of, you know, red, white, and blue. So he switched the colors around. I was like, oh, that's crazy. What is also crazy about Cody coming out, that UK crowd knew the first and the second verse of his song.
Dude, I can't make out what the fuck the words say. I would need like lyrics, the sheet music.
I just want to go to one of the meetings where like the UK crowd figures out all of this. Like, where's the Reddit board for all of this?
Yeah, who's the composer? Like, getting the crowd in order. We're all gonna chant this at this time.
Seriously, like they have songs, they have chants. Like where's do they practice in groups? Like, do they get graded on how they do? Like, I just want to know. I just want to be a part.
No, you can't sing anymore. Your voice sucks.
Yeah, I just want to know, how does it go? Do we all get drunk at the same place and then come?
Yes, together? Of course. That's a given.
Well, yes, yes. That's half the reason I want to be here for a London wrestling event, not for a wrestling event in London, for the pub crawl afterwards,
and before, and during, It's probably like a beer stand crawl in the arena.
Probably. That's why I can't wait for it. But yeah, Cody and Brock, again, another SummerSlam setup. Money in the Bank did perfectly well to set up all of your main storylines for SummerSlam. I don't know what you do for Cody and Brock for this. Is it a specialty match, or is this just a blow-off match?
Yeah, I forgot they were feuding, to be honest.
Yeah, Brock takes breaks.
He does do that.
Yeah.
I think a first blood match would be cool.
Cody loses that. Cody loses really quickly.
Dude, they both bleed.
Bull rope match? That's a good idea, Fretz. Bull rope would be fun.
Dude, I think Brock's too strong for a bull rope, to be honest.
You think Brock will break the bull rope? Like, what could you do for this? Because they're in Detroit. So cars are going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. Because that's a team. Detroit car. Detroit parking lot brawl? No, they have to. No, because you're not going to have Cody do something in a parking lot or backstage where he can't come out and do all of his pyro.
Yeah, you could just do a street fight.
I guess.
Motor City Mayhem? I don't know.
Featuring the Motor City machine guns. Fretz, what is an Iron Circle match? Except, like, is it an Iron Man match in a circle? Or what's an Iron Circle match?
Sounds fun.
It does seem interesting. I can't see them doing Iron Man, although that would be great. There's just not enough time on that card to do Iron Man. They would have to main event, and Roman and Jay, if that's what the story is, will probably main event. So I can't see them doing Iron Man. Although, again, like I said, I would love to see Cody and Brock be in Iron Man. They're not doing Steel Cage, I don't think.
No, especially if you have a fight pit.
Yeah. Ugh. Match in a circle of cars in the parking lot.
Oh.
NXT did that once.
They did, didn't they?
With Velveteen.
That's right. They did do that.
It was Velveteen and Adam Cole. It was kind of cinematic in nature.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Velveteen Dream. What a fall from grace. But Jesus Christ, can you picture Velveteen Dream in this day and age?
No.
With the roster that WWE has right now?
God.
It'd be a lot. Cena and Eddie. Iron Circle would be pretty interesting in front of cars. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see what the payoff is. That's going to have implications of what's going to happen with Cody down the road. But it also could be like Brock's just final summer farewell. Because, you know, this is the end of the Brock season. Brock doesn't work fall. Exactly. This is the end of the Brock season. Okay, Brock's gonna take a little time off. He'll come back for the Rumble, get his Mania post, blah 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 blah, and then he'll kind of chill out, do stuff here and there, and then by SummerSlam again, he's gonna be out. So this is the end of the Brock season. So Brock's gonna do some. He has to top last year when he brought out the tractor in the Last Man Standing.
Good luck.
It is gonna be hard. But I think him and Cody are gonna put on a show. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited for SummerSlam. They've done a great job building SummerSlam.
They got a full month to build it.
And like I said, you have all your key places in play. Oh, yeah, Drew came back, too. Of all the things that happened, the last thing we're talking about is Drew McIntyre came back.
I forgot he came back, but I remember how awesome it was.
Because you know what it was? It was like we had Damian winning, then Shayna turned, okay, then John Cena came out. And you're like, what will they think of next? Oh, yeah, Drew's coming back in the UK because no shit, that would happen.
Yeah, and Michael Cole's like, I guess the rumors aren't true.
Well, there's a big rumor about Drew doesn't have a new contract.
And why is he there?
I don't know.
Yeah, so. He's not going to be working without a contract and doing something physical.
Yeah,
like,
so.
What if he did the kick and, like, tore his ACL or, like, blew out his knee without a contract? That's a lawsuit. Yeah, no.
He's
contract idiots.
Yeah, or he hasn't renewed his contract or something. It's some sort of contract dispute where it happened. It expires early next year, but yeah, he just took some time off, whatever. After Mania, he had one of the greatest WrestleMania matches ever in a triple threat between him, Gunther, and Sheamus.
I think Drew does want, like, Brock money and a little bit of a lighter schedule. And WWE's just like, no. Like, he's like, they're pretty much like, you're not worth that much money. For a lighter schedule.
For a lighter schedule, sure. Yeah,
I kind of agree, to be honest.
Yeah. Drew just, when he was the guy, it was during the pandemic, and there was nothing he can do about it. Or else he'd be right there with Roman and everybody else.
Yeah.
He just, it feels so bad. Like, he needs another run. I think Gunther's the guy to do it. Like, he's finally going to get his Gunther versus Drew IC title.
I think Drew wins.
Depends on when Gunther brings the Honky Tonk's record. Because I need Honky Tonk Man's record to go, because of all the IC champions to hold the longest reign, it was Honky Tonk Man. Yeah, I'm like, no.
It's an Elvis that's gotta, impersonator.
Yeah, that's like, gotta
get
go.
The fuck out of here.
That's gotta go. If by the time SummerSlam comes around and Gunther is already the longest reigning IC champion of all time, surpassing Honky Tonk Man, then yes, give it to Drew.
I do think Drew needs to take this belt eventually, though, because, like, Drew came out and I was just like, oh, you were such a bigger star than Gunther. Like, I felt that.
It was also in the UK.
True.
You know, it's kind of a home, like, it's literally, like, he probably just came from his hometown in Scotland, like, killing goats, and just came out to do this.
Sword. I hope he doesn't bring the sword back.
Angela?
I hate the stupid sword, dude. I hate it so much.
Angela? I loved Angela.
God, dude, it's so stupid.
I loved Angela.
It makes him look ridiculous.
It was an homage to his dead mother.
Yeah, I get it, but it makes him look ridiculous.
Listen, that sword did its job for WrestleMania 38 when it cut the rope.
That was pretty cool.
So yeah, no, I'm happy for Drew. I always was the best for Drew. I'm looking at this picture now of this. I still don't know how he got his legs up that high in the air in jeans. Like, those jeans should have ripped.
I know, they're tight jeans too.
Yeah. Those jeans should have ripped in half. But listen, Gunther Drew as an IC title match, amazing. The Intercontinental title means something again.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hopefully.
Yeah. No, I love it. Where if Gunther drops, where does he go from there? We'll cross that bridge when we approach. And all I need Gunther to do is break the Honky Tonk Man's record so we don't have to spew that godforsaken stat ever again on any wrestling podcast show.
Gunther goes up against Seth. What do you mean?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's a good fall feud.
Yeah, that's fine.
Survivor Series.
Yeah. What I wish they would do, because I do kind of like that, because they haven't really done it since, like, WrestleMania 6. I would love Gunther as the IC champion going up against Seth as the World Heavyweight Champion.
That would be pretty cool.
You know, like,
unnecessary, but cool.
Yeah, they don't do it. They don't do champion versus champion often, but when they do it, it was fun. Like, when Seth versus Cena at SummerSlam, US and Heavyweight.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool for Survivor Series if you have the mid-card go up against the main event title, like Roman goes up against, well, Austin Theory, never mind. I take it back.
No, this could be like, Gunther versus Seth could be a payback or a fast lane. Survivor Series should still remain War Games.
Facts.
You know, because that just, it went over so well last year. Like, you can do that again. So no, I just love to see Gunther as a champion going up against Seth as a champion for, like, you know, one premium live event. And it worked out. I mean, you just let the cookies crumble, and then next thing you know, you have War Games, and then it's Mania season with the Rumble. Like, it's gonna come quick.
It comes really quick, dude.
Like, after SummerSlam,
it's so wild how fast this shit just happens.
Like, after SummerSlam, we're going to be, you know, really, really fast tracking to Mania and Philly. And also that means on the lookout in like a month or so, like around SummerSlam. Well, we got to be on the lookout for Mania tickets, because I think it's going to happen in August this year.
Dude, don't blink too much, because next thing you know, I'm going to plane to London going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to buy tickets. I'll have cash. I'll have cash. We'll be fine.
We'll be fine. Philly, I can't wait to go buck wild in Philly. Oh, yeah. So many cheesesteaks.
Oh, yeah.
So many cheesesteaks.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. Philly's like my second home. It's a fun little ditty. Fun little ditty. Anyway, folks, that's all we got this week. Good solid hour. Money in the Bank was pretty much the biggest thing going on in wrestling right now, because it was that damn of a good show. And a good show really sets things up for the future. And Money in the Bank really did that. Nine.
Last week I said strong 8.5. I'm sticking with strong 8.5.
Okay. Yeah. I think everything worked.
I wanted Roman to win. I'll say it. Fuck it.
Just wanted him just to be continuously dominant no matter what.
I did, dude. I wanted Roman to win. I'm not unhappy with the decision, but I am still a little surprised. I love the poetic justice behind it. I love the storytelling. I love the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But Roman Reigns is just so goddamn shiny.
He is very shiny. He's very, very shiny. He glistens. He doesn't sweat. He glistens.
He's great. And he also sweat Roman Reigns is. That's what happens.
Yeah, he also kept character leaving the arena, too. Like, people tried to shake his hand. He, like, threw his hand at him.
He was, like, crying.
Yeah.
Roman, like, on the ring, like, on the ringside, just up against the ring, going, oh, it's so good.
What are we doing here? Who are these people?
Why are we here with these people? So good, dude. Roman knows where the mics are, dude.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, he's very good. His talking has gotten exponentially better. He's one of the best situational trash talkers when it comes to matches in wrestling right now. And he doesn't yell. Like, he doesn't have the MJF syndrome where he yells.
Yeah, it's a soft yell.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, dude. I would have been totally happy if he just did the stack him, smash him, stack him, and pin him.
And that, well, he did.
They did, but then he kicked. They both kicked out.
Yeah.
I was just like, that would have been such a great finish.
It would have been, but we'll see what happens with this trial and whatnot. So, are you ready, sir, to get out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Seriously, when did the O's get up 4-2? Anywho, folks, ladies and gentlemen.
So the cameraman almost died. Did you see that?
No, I missed it. I'll watch the replay. Anywho, folks, this has been Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 346, banking on Judgment, because WWE is banking on the Judgment Day to carry a lot of the SummerSlam feud moving forward. I've been your host, King Ricky Rose. You can find me at Ambassador Biggs across all social media outlets when I decide to return, B-I-G-Z Ambassador Biggs. More importantly, you can find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast across all social media outlets. Like, share, subscribe, leave us some 5-star reviews. If you want to listen to us each and every week on your favorite podcast outlet, make sure you are subscribed to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast, and follow Wrestle Addict Radio socials at @addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. The links to all of our stuff are in the description below, wherever you're watching us or you're listening to us, including a link to our pretty awesome merchandise store. Will Tarashuk.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Will Tarashuk, T as in Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-U-K, your professional podcast host. So if you need help hosting a podcast or want me to interview you on a podcast, just let me know. Will Tarashuk, T as in Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-U-K. So I'm actually coming up on that offer, Ricky, believe it or not. We did a podcast on Monday about her app called Hubbub.
Hubbub?
It's a polling app. So it's like you get more accurate polling data by using social media. So what it does, like, say you had, like, 10,000 people answer a poll on, like, what they think about Roman Reigns.
Okay.
And so it splits it up, like, you know, 40 people think he sucks, 40 people think he rocks, and 20% don't care. But it also breaks up by demographics. So in that polling data, it skews up. So, like, 30% of people don't care, of those people don't care, are women, which 30% of those women are wrong.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the app does. So you can pretty much gather, host, buy, and sell data based off the polling results, and you can make money off of it. So it's a very interesting concept. That podcast will drop in a few weeks.
That's what the Hubbub is all about.
And anywhere their social media channels are. So yeah, check that shit out. That's what I do.
That's what the Hubbub is all about. So ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, folks, we promise that Kay Murphy will return, or kayfabe. We promise, hopefully, that Kay will be back. We're going to start the build to SummerSlam. AEW will probably have not even started their build to All In or all Out. It's All Out. No, it's All In. I don't remember. There's a lot of alls happening in a short period of time for AEW. So when we come, I'm going to try to sort all of that out and, you know, just keep talking some pretty good wrestling, because the summer wrestling has been really, really good. So, folks, goodbye. Good night. We'll see you soon, especially if you're joining us on the post show. And fuck you, Slack. I wish Slack would go to London, too.